for some of the people in the last class, it came around August 3rd. So take a look at August 3rd, okay, around there, if you were enrolled early. If you didn't get enrolled before August 3rd, then obviously it didn't happen.
Oh, wait a minute, we have to do it differently now, right?
So you want to find, it says CIS Web, something in the subject. CIS Web information or something like that. And they sent you your username and password to log into our server, which is CIS Web. So you need to find that. And I think they send it to BCC websites, but I'm not sure. Did the ones that got it last class, were they all sent to the BCC site?
Yeah, they were, it's like the Office 365 thing. It was just sent there.
Because some students
CIS
have...
Web login from Eric Goldberg.
Yeah.
So that's where... It was sent to us. Unless it was, yeah, it could have been the people. Yeah, the one that they sent it to you. You know, the email they sent to you, like wherever you have set up in the BCC
right.
directory or whatnot.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
I don't know. So check both your BCC email and if you told BCC that you have another email, check that.
Yeah, just in case. Oh, it's working. It's just really slow.
Yeah. Found it.
Yeah.
Has anybody
like
found it?
Slow.
I found it.
Yeah. I've seen it.
So what's the thing that you got?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Okay, so somebody got it September 3rd, so that was September 3rd. So that was the day that they were counting the selling the number 2. And that's the CIS Web Server website.
Oh, that's the guy. Eric, that's the guy.
Oh, it is.
All right.
Okay. How are we doing finding it?
All right.
Found it, yeah.
I can't sign it. It's not letting me sign it.
Bruce, yeah, Bruce is CC.
It's your access BCC.
Did you have any trouble finding it? Let us know.
Yeah, we got
it. Most of you seem to have found it, yes?
Yeah.
All right. So, when you want to reference things, I've got notes up here about how to do this, but I'm going to be just going through it. But if you need references when you're home or something, the notes are up there. Notice one of them says WinSCP. That is where you can download WinSCP if you want it at home. And WinSCP is what we're using. So click on WinSCP. Okay, the icon that says WinSCP. And again, if you want to be able to upload from home, you can download WinSCP. It's free. Free. And you can download it at home. Or you can just do your uploading here. It doesn't matter. Okay, so what you're going to type in here is in under hostname, you're going to type cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Now, on my notes, it says bristol.mass.edu. that used to work. They now, this semester, they decided they want everybody to use Bristol CC. So you want cisweb.bristolcc.edu. And if you found that handout, that mail, it says it right on the mail. It says what the host is. So if you have that, email, the host name is on the email, which is cisweb.bristolcc.edu. So the host name is on the email. Then you put in your username, and then you put in your password. Okay, so you're going to put in your username and password. Everything else, leave alone. Okay, so you're just putting in host, username, and password. And then you're going to click on login. Once you clicked on that, this little thing comes up and you say continue, and it happily goes in if it is happy with your username and password. If it doesn't like your password, it's going to come up and demand a new password, demand that you type in the password again. So, if you're not here, let us know, because I'm worried everybody gets here.
We're not there.
Not there yet.
okay? If you're not in, let me know. Okay, now once you're here, you're not in? Okay.
Excuse me, sir. There's no login box.
Okay, now, you have to be inside public HTML. So click on public HTML. Okay, so find public HTML and click on public HTML. Okay, and now you're in. And you probably have one thing that says index dot something or dot HTML. That's something that was put up there. I'm not real clear why they do that, but anyway, they do. So, I've got a load of stuff because I use mine a lot. Okay, so what I've got here now is this is the server, and this is your computer.
Okay.
And if you look up here, you can click up there to get other drives. Right now, it defaults to showing you what's in my documents. But if you click up there, you can see all of the drives, and you can get other drives. Okay? So what happens is, again, if I click up here, it shows me all of the drives that are associated with my computer. Okay? Let me insert that, because I can't take a picture of that. Okay. So now I can drag anything over here that I want. As you see, I made a lot of folders. So I'm going to go ahead and make a folder here. So I go into Files, New, Directory. Files, New, Directory. And I click on that, and it comes up and says I can make a directory. So I'm going to call my directory C120 Fall 14. So I'm calling it C120 Fall 14. Okay? And I'm saying okay. And notice it created a directory for me. It created the directory called C120 Fall 14. So there's my directory. Okay, that's my directory. Now, I am going to put some of the HTML that I've already created up there. So I'm going to go to my flash drive, which has some of my HTML on it. And that's what you should do. If you have an HTML, you should go wherever you save the HTML. If you don't have anything, there's probably something on the key drive that either you or somebody else saved. And you can use that. Just try to find something that says .html. Okay?
Just drag it over.
And drag it over, and it says copy. So I take this, and I'm going to take over intro, and I drag it, and it says what you want to do, and I click on copy, and it now copies it, and it's there.
Mine says okay. It don't say copy.
Yeah, mine just says okay, not copy.
All right.
Just okay.
Whatever. As long as it gets over there, we're happy. That's interesting. Okay. So I've now dragged a couple of things over there, and I've got them sitting in my directory. Okay, so I want to put a couple of HTML things, or one. It doesn't need a couple. I just need one HTML thing in my directory. Okay? Questions?
Yes.
Yeah. And go to 120 and go to my examples and click on any one of these and just say save link as and save it someplace and then upload it. You know, save it on the C, save it in my documents, save it on the T, save it wherever you want to, and then upload it. So if you just go to one of my pages, okay, and you can either do it from this list or you can click here and do a file, save pages, and you can save it. Okay, but you can just come here and right-click and say save link as, and you can save it. So I can do a save link as and save it somewhere on your computer, and then you'll be able to drag it over. As long as you get it saved someplace, you can drag it over. Okay, so if you don't have something, that's the only thing I can suggest, is that you download one of mine and then drag it over.
Okay.
So, now what we're gonna talk about is I've got pages up on the web, which means they're accessible anywhere in the world, okay? But I need to have an address to get to them. So that's what we're gonna look at next, is that address that I need. Okay, so I'm going to open a browser, and as I told you, I use Firefox. And I'm going to come in here and start putting in the address. And the first thing I do is I put in the host. So I'm typing cisweb.bristolcc.edu. I'm typing the host. Okay. And then after I've got the host, I put a slash, a forward-leaning slash, and then I put in the tilde. And the tilde is the curly brace right beneath the escape. So you hit the cap lock, or kit caps rather, shift, and put in the tilde. Then you type in your username. Okay, and mine doesn't have numbers after it, but yours does. So type in your username. You do not type in, up here it's talking about what the address of where things are. You don't type in home, and you don't type in public HTML. The tilde takes care of that. Okay, the tilde basically says this is the home of the page and takes care of that. Now, if you made a folder, you now put in the name of the folder. If you didn't make a folder, then you don't do this. And then you put in the name of the page. So I'm going to go with list.html, and there's the page. Okay, so there's the page. So what I'm writing here is... Okay. So what I'm putting here is CIS Web. Good. Okay, let's try that one more time. Okay, CIS Web. Dot Bristol CC dot EDU slash tilde your username slash the folder if you used a folder slash file.html. And you only put the folder if you used a folder. So you're putting in the host slash tilde. Okay, this is the tilde. A tilde. Your username slash folder if you use one slash file name dot html. And that's the address where it ought to bring up your page. Did it?
Yeah.
Okay. If it didn't work, let us know.
I forgot a slash, but, you know, I fixed it.
Okay. If you are sitting near somebody that has their hands up that it didn't work, help them out. If yours works and others didn't, okay, there was a bunch around here. That's all
right. You put Hebrew, sir.
Browser, right?
Okay, now let me just say one thing. When you are naming things, and then I'll get to other people. When you are naming things, do not use embedded spaces. In other words, when you're naming your file, don't call it the space something else.
What if you put a bottom in the space?
That's fine. Not a space. An underscore is fine. But you shouldn't leave a space. If you did leave a space, then you have to include it in the address. But my preference would be, if you did leave a space, if you go back over here, and you click on it, and you come up with rename, you can get rid of embedded spaces. Rename and get rid of embedded spaces. Okay, yes.
I think I know why.
That goes up last the end this Thursday. You had to send me a page. Next Thursday, it has to be up on the web. So, in other words, there'll be an assignment this week that says, "Okay, now put your page up on the web."
We were supposed to send you the work already.
By Thursday. 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 2 days from now.
Okay.
So, if you put it up on the web. You can then say, you have to send me the address. Because I don't want to go looking for it. I want to have you send me the address. I want to be able to click on the address and have it load. Okay? So you're going to send me the address in an email. You're going to copy and paste the address and send me the address in an email. Yeah.
What's the difference between?
Well, this week I didn't. Last week we didn't get into how to put it up on the server, so I just wanted the web page. Now, if you get it up on the server before this Thursday, you can kill 2 Thursdays in 1 second.
So basically, what we just did is putting it up on the server.
Yeah. Okay. Now, if you have an image that you want to put up, okay, I'm going to go back to my website. And I'm going to go into examples, and I'm going to have this centered image. Okay, so I am going to say save link as. and I'm going to save that link on my flash drive for now. Then I'm going to bring it up, and I'm going to click on this image, right-click on this image, and say save image as. So I'm saving the image on my flash drive, and I've actually already done that, so da-da-da-da. So now I have the page, this page, and this image saved on my flash drive. You can save them on the T drive, you can save them any way you want. So now I'm going to come in over here, and I am picking my flash drive as where the stuff is located. And I am going to drag over this HTML-centered image, and I'm going to drag over CISA GIF, because I need both of them. If I have this page, and this page says use a GIF, then I gotta have the GIF up here too.
If I posted my image, yeah, I have to do it.
If you have an address, you mean that you're going to take, like, from Facebook or something?
No, I uploaded my image, the photo book, the image, the URL that I
incorporated. Okay, then you can but you have to type it in here. Okay, what I've got is if I do an edit, if I click on anything in here and I right-click and I say edit, it brings up the code. So I need to put in, if I have a whole address, to answer your question, that address has to go in here, okay? So right now, this just says CISA GIF, and that means look in the same directory. I put it in the same directory, so it should not be a problem. Because I have got the page and the image in the same directory. So on the page, I'm simply saying, use that image. And since it's in the same directory, it can find it. Okay? So now I have to go and bring up this page. Okay, so I'm going to change this, and the name of the page is going to be HTML5 centered image. .html. Okay, and if I now hit enter, there it is. So I've now got the page with the image on it. If I had not put the image up here, then the image wouldn't show up because it couldn't find the image. So I have to upload the image as well, or use an address to point to someplace on the server, or whatever server. Okay, so what I did is I downloaded this page and saved it on my flash drive, and you can see it actually over there. I downloaded the image, and then I save that on my flash drive, and then I drag those two things up to my website, so they're not. So they're now there. And then I can put in the address that brings them up. Okay? Now, lots of times, some people will say, I don't want to put the image in the same directory. So I'm going to go down and I'm going to delete my image. And I'm going to make a directory, file, new directory. And I'm going to call it My Images. So there's my directory called My Images. Now I'm going to open My Images and I'm going to put CISA GIF in there. So CISA GIF is now in a subdirectory called My Images. So if I come up here, I can see it's in there. Now, what do I have to change here in order for it to be able to find that CISA GIF? What do I have to change here? Because right now it's looking for it in the same directory. But I said, no, it's in a subdirectory right beneath it. So what do I have to write here? That's right. Not change it, but add in. I have to add in My Images /, so that it knows that it is inside CISA GIF is in My Images. And if I'm sitting in this one right here, and I look in that image, in that directory, I will find it. So I've said, from your point of where you're sitting right here, look in this subdirectory, and you will find CISA in the subdirectory. Now I need to be sure to save it. That little disk up there saves things, so I need to be sure to save it. And now if I bring it up, and do a refresh, it's fine. Okay? If I had tried to bring it up before I changed the address, it wouldn't have found CISA. Yeah. If I do a view source on this page, notice, oh good. Maybe I didn't reload it.
Whatever you had in that folder, that is it. Yeah, you have to put it in there.
I don't know why I'm getting that. Did I not save that? No, that's saved.
Oh.
Yep.
It really is true that I need to put that there. CISweb.bristolcc.edu tilde P. Grosser / C120F14. Good, I did a good night. Nice typing there. And then HTML5 centered image.html. And there it is. And with a little bit of luck, yes, I've now got it so that it's refreshed. So now it is saying, in order to find the image, go to My Images. That's where you'll find the image. Okay. Now, you don't have to get into all this folder stuff if you keep everything in the main directory. Or you keep everything in the same directory, you can avoid all this. But if you're interested in learning how directories work and everything, this is, you know, the learner. You try it that way. If you know what you're doing and somebody sitting next to you doesn't know what they're doing, get to work, please.
Images.
Okay.
Image source. So you're trying to...
Like, think this, like, the image, that code right there, comes from the source of that picture. Right? Image source representation. Because the website is with that, what you have is fine. But, like, don't you have this
layer?
You have it right there. She's got my images, which is because it's not folder.
They hold my images there.
You know what I mean?
So if you got a folder, 10 then you, then, yeah, you have to.
Then we have to click on it.
We'll just kind of figure out the picture.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, no, it would be like this. It would be. So she said, I got my images. Images.
Yeah, that's even worse.
Slash. Like, just like a folder directory on the top of your address card. It's not going to be mine. Because I have my image, it's going to look at a different spot. So let's take a look. Hold on. Oh, yeah. Sometimes I can't see. So right here, this is where it is. So I just double-clicked on this. So I'm taking it from here. I'm going to put my images.
Oh, another L.
This means that it's supposed to be a folder in here. But watch what happens. It doesn't work.
Okay, questions? Okay, so. Questions? Okay, then my assumption is now that you all understand HTML, and so we're moving on.
Yep.
Okay. So, Pat, I'm going to ask you to, because I want you to pay attention to this, and you can come later if you can, or catch up with Pat at some point and go over that, okay?
Yep.
But I don't want you to not be listening.
I'll help you. I'm here from 2 to 3 right after this class, too, to help. So
we're both staying right after this class.
So we're going to move on to the next thing? Is that what we're doing?
Yep. Okay. So, what I want to talk about right now is you also got another email with another password. We like to keep life simple. And this one is information to get into DreamSpark. DreamSpark is a micro... Don't bother to find it now. If you don't have it, let me know. But DreamSpark is a Microsoft product list. It allows you to download free Microsoft products. And there's a lot of them there. The one I want you to download is Access 2013. And that's what we're going to be starting to look at now, is Access 2013. You can download it from free at home if you want it at home. If you want to work here, then you don't need to download it. But if you want it at home, you can download it from DreamSpark. Yeah. Kind of don't think so, but maybe. There's a MAC equivalent for Word and Excel, so maybe you can download it and have access. You should have been sent. Actually, it's not a password. It's how to do it. You've got an invitation to DreamSpark. You can go in and download it. It's a big access does come on. You want to see I made them? Some of my problems
are happening. I don't have any address focus right now.
I don't think I have
it
either.
You don't really lock them.
Oh, it just won't be on
the page. Okay. Look for it. If you don't find it, you can send me an email. My turn. Okay. So I'm going to open Access, and we're going to start looking at Access. So I'm coming over here and I'm finding Access 2013, because that's the version that I want to use. So I'm clicking on Access 2013. Okay. Now, Access is a database. And what a database is it's a way to keep track of data. So payroll could be done on a database. Inventory can be done on a database. If you're in games, a database is how it keeps track of scores, how it keeps track of who got to what point, how it keeps track of all of that kind of thing. So a database allows you to save something, turn off your computer, and tomorrow you've got that information. Okay, so if your game keeps track of where you are in the game or the points you've accumulated or whatever, that can all be saved on a database. So, I'm now going to click on blank desktop database. Blank desktop database. And I'm clicking on that and this screen comes up. The Access database has a extension of ACCPB. Okay. So, I'm now giving it a name. So I'm going to call it StuDB for student database, because I'm going to put in information about a student. So I'm going to call it StuDB. Now, where it is stored it is in users, PGROS, or documents. That's not really where I want to store it. So I'm going to say over here, browse, and I'm going to bring up my flash drive, and that's where I'm going to save it, because I would prefer to save it on my flash drive. Okay, and not save it on the C drive here, which means it's lost forever if the computer goes down.
So what if it doesn't open something for you to name it? What if you don't get that box open? Because I didn't.
I didn't either.
If you click on blank database.
Yeah.
It just opened up the whole
page. So we're already lost. So, now I am naming my database and saying okay, and then I'm clicking on create. And it created my database. Okay, so I created the database at that point. I had to give it a name. I had to tell it where to save it. And then I have this. Okay?
How did you do this thing? Where to save it?
I do the browse thing. The little browse key. Right next to the name is something that says browse. A little folder looking thing that means browse.
Oh,
right there. That means browse. Okay? And that way you can save it. So now I've saved it. Now, a database is made up of tables. And we're going to just create a table. The database is made up of tables. Okay, so I have a database, and it is made up of tables, which are like files. Well, when you get inside a database, they call it a table. Okay? Inside the table, I am going to really have fields that I am going to describe, okay, which can also be called columns. Now, these fields are actually going to be arranged in rows, and these rows are records, and we'll see that as we go along. But that's kind of the vocabulary words, and we'll see them as we go along. Okay? So now I'm coming over here, and I'm clicking over here on design view. So I'm clicking on design view. Okay? I came over here, and I clicked on this little arrow and brought up design view. That little arrow that brought up design view. Okay? So again, I'm coming over here, clicking on that little arrow, and picking design view. And I'm going to call this stew table. Okay, so I've now got a stew table. So I'm typing the word stew table there. And it's going to let me click OK, which means I've got a stew table. Now notice what happened when I did that. It came over here under tables, and there's stew table. So it says, there's my table sitting right there. Now what I have to do is tell it what I want on that table. And notice it says field names. So I'm now going to tell it the fields I want. They suggest ID. That's not what I want. I'm going to call it IDNO, because that's what I'd prefer to call it. Okay? I can stay with ID if I want to, or I can make up my own name. But I put IDNO. I don't like capitals. It's saying auto number. I don't want auto number. What I'm actually going to pick is short text. Short text would allow me to have an ID that's made up of letters and numbers, or just numbers, or actually I could have special characters in it. Short text allows me to have letters, numbers, and special characters. Okay? So I'm making that a short text field. Now, as soon as I made it a short text field, it came down here and told me the field size was 255 characters. Okay. There is no way I want an ID of 255 characters. Okay? So, I'm going to change that and make it 5 characters. Now, notice also when I'm making up names, I'm not using embedded spaces. So, I'm going to call this next one Stu Name. It's where I can put in the student's name. So I type Stu Name, all as one word. Okay? So my Stu Name, I'm also going to make short text, and I'm going to change that to 40 characters. Because, again, I don't think anybody names their kid with 255 characters. Okay? So I'm making it 40 characters. Now I'm going to put in a field called major. And I'm going to make that a short text field of just 2 characters. So I'm changing the field size to 2. So I've now got a major in there. And my major is 2 characters. Okay? So now I'm going to find out how many courses the person has taken. So I'm typing courses. Now courses, I want to be a number. So I'm choosing number under data type. I'm choosing number. And when I choose number, if I come down to field size and click on the little arrow over there, it gives me a whole load of choices. Long integer was the one it gave me by default. Okay, long integer lets me get into the gazillions. I don't want to be there. number of courses is going to be a very small number. Okay, it's not going to be 100 even. It's probably not going to be any bigger than 100, definitely not. So I'm picking just plain integer. Integer is a small number. And again, number of courses, people aren't taking thousands of courses, so I'm just picking a small number as an integer. And then I'm putting in a GPA. And that's a number as well, but this one is a decimal number. So I'm picking single. I could have picked decimal, I like single better. So I'm picking single. So now I've got five fields set up. Three of them are text fields, two of them are numbers. Text fields can have in them, whoops, guess not. Text fields can have in them letters, numbers, and special characters. So letters, numbers, and special characters. Okay. Numbers can have digits and the decimal point. Okay, so they can have numbers. And actually, they can have a negative sign if the data is negative. But they can have digits, decimal points, whereas text fields can have anything. So I make a name a text field. But I make things that are involved with something like GPA a number, because it's a decimal number. Okay? So, what I have done now...
I have a question.
Okay, just a second. What I've done now is I have created the structure of the table. Okay, I've laid out the structure of the table. These are the fields. Every single record that I put onto the database will have room for those five pieces of data. Okay, yeah.
Now, when you put field size, say 5, does that mean if you did it in the short text, you could only include 5 letters? Or
that's right. That's right. So my ID number, I decided I didn't want more than 5 characters. Name, I went for 40. If the name is bigger than 40, then you start abbreviating. Okay? So I've got 40 characters. So now making a database table has two parts. The first part is laying out the structure. The next part is putting the data in, which is called populating the table. This little image here, right under the word file, is a toggle. So if I click on it, it first says, do you want to save it? Yeah, I want to save it. And then it brings up a place to enter the data. If I click there, it's back to the structure. Click here, it's the place to enter the data. It's a toggle back and forth. Sure it does. Now, what I have here is here are my 5 fields. Okay? And here is a row. This is a row, or a record. So I'm going to put in a record. Did you get over to this side? Okay. So I'm going to put in a record. Okay. Susan Ash, major CI. Courses, she's taken 12 of them. GPA, 3.8. And now I'm going to put in another record. 12121. Dave Costa, CI major. He's taken 15 courses, 3.7 GPA, or 3.75. what I've done now is I have typed in rows, which are records. And for each row, I have typed in the field, which if you notice are right under each other, so they can sometimes be called a column. So those are columns, the fields are columns. Okay, because it kind of looks like a column. So what I want to do here is I want to put in a bunch of data. So I'm going to put in some more records, and you should put in some more records. And if you're having a problem, let Pat know. He looks bored. And your data doesn't have to be the same as mine at all. But I would like you to put a little variety in the major courses in GPA so that when we go and ask questions, we'll have some variety. So I'm now putting in a few business majors. Okay, so I've now got a series of records, and yours don't have to say the same thing as mine.
But it's all right if they do.
But it's all right if they do. Oh, I don't know, 5 or 6, 7, whatever. I think I'm done now. Okay. So I've now got my database. And again, if I click on the X over here at the far right, it closes it. And if I want to bring it up, there it is. And I can toggle back and forth between the structure and the data. Okay? So, Access is a low-end database. If you're a big company, you're using something like Oracle, MySQL Server, something like that. But for a small company, Access works just fine. Okay, has everybody got some data in there? And as you can see, each field makes a column, which is why it's sometimes called columns, but usually it's called fields. But each field makes a column. Each one of these are records on the table. So I have a series of records on the table. And this is how I store data. Okay. Questions? So now I'm going to close this down. And the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to make a query. A database typically will have thousands of records. So I need to be able to ask questions and say, show me all the CI majors. Show me everybody that has a GPA greater than a certain amount. I need to be able to ask questions. And so I do that with a query. So I say create up at the top here. I click on create. And then I pick on query design. Not query wizard, query design. So I click on query design. At this point, it brings up this list of tables. Well, I only have one table, so there's only one thing in the list. But it brings up a list of tables. And I want to use that table to ask a question. So I'm clicking on add. And that adds the table to my query. And then I close. Okay, so this is the setup for a query. Now I'm going to bring the data that I want to show when I ask the question. So I may not want to see all of the data on the table at once. I may just want to see certain fields, or I may want to see them but in a different order. This first one, I'm going to do all of the fields, but in a different order. So, to bring the data down to the query, which is the thing below, I can either double-click on it, and it comes down. I can drag it, and it comes down. Or I can go over to the next field and click on the arrow and pick something. So I have three ways of getting the data on here. Double click, drag, or click on the arrow and pick. Now let's say I don't want courses next, I want GPA next, that's fine. And then courses, that's fine. So it doesn't have to be in the same order. And as I said, I didn't have to have everything. I could have said I don't care about courses on this particular query. Make it go away. Just don't show it. Okay, so now if I take this query and I hit on the toggle, it's going to show me all of the records. But notice it's showing me GPA for four courses, because that's the way I set up the query. Now, in reality, a query usually asks questions, so I'm going to click on the toggle and go back. And I'm going to put CI in quotes underneath major. I'm putting CI underneath major in quotes.
How did you get that to that screen?
The top. This is a top. And if you click, it goes back and forth. So now go back over here. Click on this. No, click on the image right up there. Okay, now click on it again. Okay. Okay, close up the database.
Now,
you should not, and that's a good point, you should not have the database open at the same time you're doing a query. If you have the database open and the query open, it's going to get the table open and the query, it's going to get in the twit. So close down the database.
What if you did want to go back to the database?
Then you have to open it separately. Just don't click on it and open it, but then close it up when you go back to the query. The query is using the database, so it doesn't want you using the database table at the same time. The query is using a table. I shouldn't have said database, I should have said table. The query is using the table, it doesn't want you having the table open at the same time. Okay, it's very possessive of its table, and it wants it to itself. Okay? So I now put the CI in quotes. Now, if I did not have quotes here, Microsoft would fix it. Because Microsoft fixes things. Okay? So if I didn't put the quotes in, Microsoft would fix it. And the reason it would fix it is I described this as a small, short text. And it knows that a text field can have letters, numbers, or special characters and should be in quotes. And I'll talk about that a little more in a second. But I want to show you the results of this. So under the field major, I have put CI. Notice it's on the criteria line. CI major. So the criteria is I only want to see CI students. So if I toggle this, that's all I see. The business students are not showing up. Just the CI students are showing up. So if I toggle back, then I see the CI. Okay. This is a literal. This is called a literal. If it is a text or string, text is also called string, then it has to be in quotes. If it is a number, do not use quotes. And this is kind of universal in the computing field. About around text or string data, you put quotes, and around numbers, you don't. Okay? And as I said, every language that I can think of follows that rule. Every database I can think of follows that rule.
You said the CI in quotes was a literal?
A literal.
Literal. Okay.
Literal.
Right.
It's a... testing to see if it's equal to the exact letter CI. So that's called a literal. Because it's something I am testing against, so it's called a literal. Okay. So when I'm done with this, I can save this. Whoops, I think, no, that's okay. I can click on the little X to make it go away. It says, do you want to save it? Quiet, please. And I want to save it, and I'm going to call it CI query. So I'm going to save it. And notice what happens when I save it. Over here under queries, it says CI query. Okay. And if I bring that query up again, there is the data, and if I toggle, I get to see the different things. Okay, now I'm going to make one more query before we end the class. So I'm saying create query design. And I'm adding the table and closing it. So this time I'm going to bring on ID, name, and GPA, and that's it. I'm not bringing down the other fields. And under GPA, I'm going to say I want to see everybody that has a GPA greater than 3.2. Okay? So I've said I want to see everybody that has, the criteria is that they have a GPA greater than 3.2. Notice that it's not in quotes. Now, if I wanted equal 3.2, I wouldn't have to write a symbol. Equal is the default. So when I wanted equal to CI, I didn't bother to write equal. But if I want anything else, I need to put in the symbol. So I've got greater than 3.2 there. And if I run this, those are the people that had a GPA greater than 3.2. Anybody that didn't have greater than 3.2 is not showing on my list. Okay? Okay, with 1 minute to spare, we're done. Questions? Yeah. Greater than. Greater than 3.2. So I just put the greater than symbol and then I put the number not in quotes because it's a number. Okay, Pat and I will be around in here until 3 or a little bit after. So if you have any questions, please feel free to stay. Or drop in at some point. We'll also be around Thursday. GPA. Yeah. And so that's just the GPA query. So I saved it as a separate query.
You'll get all the
points. That's why it's important that you do the browser and find out where it is. Where do you put it? You put it on your drive?
I will be here on Thursday till 3, but I'll probably be in K118 as a heads up.
Yeah, K118.
And then on Friday, unless I get like a lot of people saying afternoons, I might even switch up. 3 to 5 o'clock on a Friday. My hour is going to be 3 to 5 on Friday. So. Yeah, I'll do that now.
Is this?
Well, did you tell it to go there? You have to know where you save it. And then you can't save it from here. That's a pain. What you have to do is go and drag and drop it. So, for example, on my first one, I forgot to save it. I forgot to tell where it was going to save. And so if I go here, it was on the C drive. I think it was under my documents. And there it is, student ACCDB. So I found it. And so I can now drag it over to my flash drive. But you have to know where you saved it, or else you have to go do a search for it. But I happen to know that I saved it. Didn't mean to, but I saved it on the documents. Then you're going to have to do a search. Okay? Then you have to do a search. But the default place, if you didn't change it, is under documents.